in the book of Psalms, chapter 61. While you pray for us. Chapter 61, book of Psalms. Reading verses 1 through 8. 1 through 8. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. And stop reading there in that 8th verse. Like to bring to you a message this morning. Lead me to that rock. Lead me to that rock. David, a man that had plenty of joy in his life, had many times that he celebrated the goodness of God. Times when things were plenteous. Times when people would adore his name and his kingship. But just like us, there was times in David's life that he also faced distress. Times that trouble come, that regardless of what his title was, it affected him and his household. Good times are we enjoy, but every household has their share of bad times. As I preached on Wednesday night, I do believe, but I hear the writer to say, bad times won't last forever. David said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. David, back in Psalms, the 22nd chapter, felt like that the Lord had abandoned him. Seemed like he was surrounded by trouble on every hand. Some of us can say, David, I can relate to how you felt. I can relate to all that you went through, but then again I say, be careful. Because some of us have never been through what David went through. And some of it, like us today, David brought upon himself. How many of us today know that there's trouble that we have brought upon our own household because of our own actions and the things that transpired in the past? Little things that sometimes, if we're not careful, will grow into big things. You see, because of David partaking of something that wasn't his, and then in order to cover it up, having a man and others killed on the battlefield to try to cover up his sin, it brought generational problems to the king's house. The baby died that Bathsheba bore for him. And then we read where Amnon raped his daughter Tamar. And then we find where Absalom killed Amnon to bring respect and honor for Tamar. Then we read, Brother Clarence, where Absalom was on the run because he tried to dethrone his dad. And he slept with his father's wives. And then we read where Absalom's and David's armies fought against each other. Joab killed Absalom. Think about this for a minute, church. After Absalom did all that he did, David told the soldiers, do him no harm. How many of us can they relate with that, regardless where our children or our family has gone? Our love is still there regardless of where they're at. Then there was famine that came, and then the war with the Philistines. David knew what distress was all about. And in this 63rd or 61st chapter, he said, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. How many of us come in today with distress in our life? And we went before God in prayer and said, Lord, would you hear my prayer one more time? And when you hear my prayer, would you send the answer that I'm praying for according to your will? Because sometimes it feels like everything in our life is just turned upside down. Sometimes we don't know if we're coming or going. But David said, through it all, when my heart is overwhelmed, and I believe that we are overwhelmed today, as I preached on Wednesday night, we get out of one situation only to go into another. And then another, and then another. And it's not always what we have done, but it's things that's happening all around us, globally even. As I heard Brother Jim request prayer this morning, not only are we battling this COVID, but now we've got the Russian troops that they're on the border of Ukraine, threatening with war. And the president said yesterday in a statement that we are readying our military to show a presence, whatever that may mean, as well. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. God does not owe us anything except for what we already have received from him. David said, when I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to that rock which is higher than I. How many of you know where that rock is at today? How many of you know he not only was the rock, but he still is the rock? Some may say, is he talking about Peter? Because Christ said, upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Brother Ott, he wasn't talking about Peter. He was talking to Peter. Peter was just a stone. Christ was that rock that come rolling down through Babylon, overcoming the kingdoms of this world. He was that rock that started way back in the garden and has rolled down through the timetable of time. And they killed the rock, but the grave could not hold the rock. The rock got out on the third and appointed day. for you and for I today. The rock that we serve that is higher than I is none other than the rock of Israel that it talks about in Samuel, the 23rd chapter, or one of my favorites is in 1 Samuel, the 2nd chapter and the 2nd verse. Hannah would say, let me tell you about this rock. And it was a very simple explanation. She said, there is no rock like God. No rock like my God today. I asked for a witness on a Sunday morning. How many of you know that when you're on the rock, you are safe and secure? You are safe and secure. Many years ago, Brother Emerson, Prudential Insurance had an advertisement that said, get a piece of the rock. I've got the rock. He's mine and I'm his. I know where my rock is at today. A lot of things in life that I thought was good and was steady, but the storms of life have broken them down. But thank God I stand upon the true and living rock. And there is no rock like our rock today in Jesus Christ. Samuel also said it like this. Jehovah is my rock. Not the president. Not the Congress or Senate. Not Allah. Not Buddha. Not the Hare Krishnas. Not Reverend Moon, and certainly not all the gods of this world. Muhammad is not my rock. Mount Carmel Missionary Baptist Church is not my rock, even though I'm thankful for it. My rock is none other than Jesus Christ himself. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. He has been this way before. He knows all about you and I. He knows exactly about the frailties that we are facing. He knows about the trouble. He knows about all of our insecurities. And yet, we have a rock, Sister Mary, that has never, never been moved in one direction or another. I like what he said in Hebrews, the 13th chapter and the 8th verse. Jesus Christ, if I can interject this here, Jesus Christ, my rock, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Amen. He's a tried stone that's been proven. The same rock that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Not of that, just that temple, but of our lives today. Can I preach this morning? How many of you have got the rock in your life and you know that you're built upon a good foundation? I'm not built upon any other man's foundation, as Paul would say, but I'm built upon a true foundation. The storms have naturally come. And they've tried to knock me off the rock. But I cannot be moved. Just like a tree. Oh, hallelujah. That's planted by the waters. I cannot be moved. I've got roots today that go down through the rock today. And you say, how in the world does roots get mixed into a rock? Sometimes I'm amazed when I drive along interstate and I see a rocky bank there and there's trees and stuff coming out of it. I am out of the tribe of Judah. You say, how did you get there? I was born into it. Even in rocky ground, some seeds came out. Oh, I didn't know I was going to preach like this, Clarence. But in some rocky ground, every once in a while, a seed will make its way to some good soil. I'm thankful today, even in our era of time, some of you stood up on Sunday, some on Monday, and all the way through the whole week, you stood up on. But every one of us was once in a place that was dry and barren. We built our lives and our homes upon the sifty sands. But praise God, whether it was on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, or Sunday. Oh, hallelujah. There was an invitation that came by our way. That was the best invitation I've ever had. I heard someone say in the midst of a church service, lead me to that rock which is higher than I. Not mama, not daddy, not brother or sister, but lead me to the rock in Jesus Christ that I might know what they're singing about. I might know what they're preaching about. Why there's so much excitement in the church house. I believe and I recognize and I honor Jack's testimony this morning about how being quiet in the house of God. It's time for the redeemed of God to stand up and say, I am saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. It wasn't the world that saved me. It wasn't the White House that saved me. But I got saved at an old time Baptist church where the Holy Ghost flowed through the midst of the congregation. And while the preacher was preaching, my heart was taken back to how lost I was. And I wanted to know something more about this rock. Amen. The best thing I ever did do was when I stepped out behind that pew and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Is he not the best thing you've ever done today, church? Amen. The Bible says in Psalms 94th chapter in the 22nd verse. He is the rock of my refuge. Has anybody run to him recently? Oh, Lord, I need a hiding place. When the storms of life are raging, I need a place where I can hide. And I found it in the cleft of the rock. Anybody else been there? It's a good place to be. Even in the midst of the storm, there's peace. Because you know that the rock is solid. And he's not going to move. And you see also the Bible teaches us that it's a great rock. And I say there is none greater than my God today. This world's got many gods. They've got many rocks that they build upon. But when those rocks break and no longer can hold them and give them the security they need, they start looking for another rock that they can build on. I encourage you this morning and counsel you, get your life built upon Jesus Christ and you won't need another rock. There'll be people today. And I know we keep talking about this, but there'll be people today, their rock will be crushed because their team loses. Can I preach today? I've read the back of the book. I know how it all ends. I'm not going to be destroyed, but I'm going to be lifted up and taken home to be with my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches us that it's better for us to be broken and fall upon this rock than it is for the rock to fall upon them. Because if the rock falls upon us, we'll be ground into powder. I wish somebody in the house of the Lord would remember back to the day that you fell on the rock, broken, and your life, you felt like, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to die and go to hell. But praise God, he did not leave us broken, but he picked up the broken pieces and he put our lives together and made us a fit subject for the kingdom of God. In this world, I may be nothing, but in the eyes of God, I am a somebody because I know where my Redeemer's at and I know where the rock is at when times get hard. He is my rock. He is my rock. He is the rock of Israel. He is the rock that begot us. But most of all, he is the rock of salvation. no other name given among men under heaven whereby you can be saved except for one. What is his name? His name is Jesus Christ. How many of you have met him this morning and know that you are on that rock built safe and secure? And no matter what happens in this lifetime, yes, we'll be like David. We're going to have trouble. Even David said, every once in a while, I've got to go to that rock that is higher than I. I hear the sisters sing that song from years gone by. When the storms of life are raging, stand by me. Stand by me, Lord. Help me today because there's nothing else I can depend upon. David bragged on him. He said in the third verse that you've been a shelter for me. There's been times, can I preach this morning, that I felt like I was the only one that needed a shelter. But I crawled to that place of shelter. And you know what I found when I got there? I seen some of you. Oh, hallelujah. I seen some of you in that same shelter. And I said, oh, Lord, you're not just big enough for me, but you're big enough for all of us. A place that we could find shelter and a strong tower from the enemy. The next time the devil gets on your case, just run to that rock. Say, Lord, I need a place where I can hide. Because you see, Satan is stronger than you and I are. He can defeat us on ourselves. But he cannot defeat our Father. He tried, and our Father put him in his place. He is still mocking and raising his voice with threatenings and everything else. But let me tell you, the devil knows as well as we know, at the end, he loses and is damned to a devil's hell for all eternity. While those that depend upon the rock of God, that we've got the victory in Jesus Christ, and when this world is burning with a fervent heat, we will not be here to have to worry about spending eternity in hell. How many of you know when the trump of God sounds declaring that time shall be no more, the rock is going to come in the clouds of glory, gather his children, and we're going to go home to live with him for all eternity. Amen. While there is rejoicing in heaven, there will be damnation in an awful place of destruction. You say, Roger, you can't preach like that. It's 2022. Preaching like that is what got me saved. If our people get saved, it will take preaching like that to get them saved. God is not going to sugarcoat it just for a bunch of limp wrist sissies today that we've got in our world. You say, oh, now you've crossed the line. Let me tell you, God is God, and he will not change his suit, mama and daddy, brother or sister. But he says, what I have said, what I have written, it is true from the beginning all the way to the end of time. His word will stand when the world is on fire. Didn't know I was going to say all that. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. It's time for us to man up. Right? Put on your adult britches. Oh. And man up that we're all sinners. But some of us have been saved by God's amazing grace. How many of you want the gospel to be changed to suit this new generation? You know what we're doing? We're sugarcoating it to get the numbers up. But all we're doing is increasing the amount of people that's going to spend eternity in hell and destruction. Let me preach to you this morning. If I sugarcoat it, I will stand accountable for it. I am not going to back off what the Word of God says. It may cost me my life. It may cost me my job. It may cost us everything we have on this side of the river. But have you seen what I've got on the other side Oh, hallelujah. I've got treasures unmeasurable. I've got a home over there in a place where the stars and the sun don't even compare with the brightness of the glory that we're going to see when we enter in the portals of heaven and we see our Lord and Savior for the first time with the natural eyes. We'll see Him as He is for ourselves and not another. They'll be shouting on the hills of glory when the children come in. Well, thank God today. We might be quiet down here, Jack, but let me tell you, you better get ready for a rumble when we get home, because it's going to be a praise that starts that will never come to an end. And you say, don't you think you'll get tired of thanking Him and thanking Him and thanking Him? Oh, I've never got tired on this side of you. I've never got tired on this side. David prayed because he needed something that he could get. He was a king. You know, we think because somebody has a certain title that they're all that. Titles stay on this side. Except for one. On a Saturday night, while the preacher was preaching and trying to lead me to that rock, I got a title that will stay with me for all eternity. What is it? I am a born-again child of God. Hallelujah. If you've been saved, you got that title. Everything else we'll leave on this side. But we've got something over there we never had on this side. Perfect peace. Perfect joy. And perfect praise. How many of you today will acknowledge that we come into God's house wanting to worship Him and praise Him, and we come in when we bring all the garbage that's on our mind from this past week and what's going to happen this coming week? We try to worship Him and we can't because all the thoughts. And then Satan comes by. But then every once in a while I see the lights come on in some of your eyes. You got a space there that Satan may not be bothering you. You're pushing through. Did you know as a child of God, you've got to push through? If you sit there and just take whatever Satan gets at you, you'll never get your blessing. But I'm going to push through this morning. This was not the first time that David had been to that rock. You see, he said, it's higher than that. He knew where it was at. He knew that it was attainable. He knew that if he would get to that rock that was higher, that he would have everything that is bothering him. In the previous part of this verse, he said, Sister Joan, I am overwhelmed. To go with our message on Wednesday night, how many of you are overwhelmed today with everything going on in your life? We're in church. You can confess today. You say, but Roger, if we confess, you'll preach on just a little bit longer. That's all right. Is it not? I need something to bring me joy back in my life. Peace in my life. Take that fear away from me. And give me something I can stand on and say, even though fret not, old soul, because I know who holds you. But this body, this mind needs some peace that will come. And when we're overwhelmed, we can't even think straight. But when I get to where the rock is at, I can lay down and sleep like a baby. I can lay down and say, yes. On the outside, I can still hear the waves crashing. On the outside, I can still hear the wind blowing. But look where I'm at today. How many of you today need to get back to that rock? Because your life is such turmoil. You may come in here and put on your best smile. God didn't give me a message like this just to throw it out so we feel good for a few moments of time. But there's some of us that need to confess, I've tried to walk by myself. I've tried to think it through for myself. See, David was very conniving when it all happened with Bathsheba. He should have been at war. It was the year that the kings went to battle. He stayed home because something caught his eye. Sin will catch your eye. I'm going to tell this. Some of y'all, I think I'm crazy on a Sunday morning. But I had a guy stop me on Friday. And he said it to me like this. He said, "Look here, Roger. Look here." He had his phone out and he showed it to me. He said, "If you bet $1,000 for the Bengals to win Sunday, you'll get $3,400 and some dollars back." I said, "How much did you lose last week?" You know, Satan will only show you what you could get. David got in trouble because he got a hold of something that wasn't his. And then he connived to try to cover it up. And he had blood on his hands. Even though a man after God's own heart. And he had a desire to build a house for God. And God came by and said, "No, David, you can't do it now. You got blood on your hands." But that's not the end of the story, is it? David still tried to attain. After he repented and got back with God, he worked. You see, Solomon gets a lot of credit for building the temple, does he not? But do you know who was the lead treasurer, the fundraiser for the building of the temple? His dad. David scraped together every piece of gold and silver that he could because he knew it was going to cost a lot of money to build the temple. And even though he couldn't build it, see, some of y'all can't be preachers, but you can still work that the preacher can preach. You can't be singers, but you can work so that the singers can sing. David said, "Lord, I may not be able to build it, but I'm going to work as hard as I can to get the resources together so that when Solomon starts building, there'll be no want." And you know what Solomon did? He built the temple. He built the temple. And how did he build it? Everything in there reminded him, "Dad worked for that. Dad did that." Can I tell you today in the spiritual realm, my dad did that. My dad did that back there. He did just. Every one of you is a workman made by my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. He is my rock. He is your rock. And I wish we could get more people on the rock. You say, "Don't you think we'll run out of room?" Heaven was built big enough that every man, woman, boy, or girl to ever be born from the time of Adam until the trump sounds could go there. To Emerson's statement earlier, Moses prayed for the children of Israel. He said, "Lord, please don't blot out their name." I'm preaching the truth, am I not? Don't blot their name out. I'm glad my name is etched in that book. That book of life. And if you've been born again, your name is there too. Your name is there. People say, "Well, why do y'all got to be excited about?" My name is there. Sharon and Rob used to sing a song, "My name may never be in lights. When I leave here, there'll be no streets or boulevards or buildings named after me. But the rock put my name in the most blessed of all places. Because my name is found written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Amen. Have you been to that rock that David was talking about? And let me put this in. Why did David say, "Lead me to that rock"? And it's very simple, I believe, Brother Clarence. You cannot come to God just anytime you want to. You have to come, Brother Ron, when the Lord is calling. And when the Lord is calling, I believe he's calling this morning. Sharon, get us a song. I believe he's calling this morning. We know that no man can come unto Jesus unless his Father draw him. People say that's for lost people. It's for the lost, and it's for the saved alike that are outside of the fellowship with God. It's for the saved that are hurting and burdened, and life has come at you so hard that you just need to talk to God about it. David couldn't go just whenever he wanted to. He had to wait until the invitation came. I believe God has sent the invitation to you this morning that you can now come through the rock. Get that peace that you've been missing. Get that joy that you've been missing. Get everything that Satan has tried to rob you of. Let God give it back to you. Let God give it back to you. Christians are the most insecure people I know. When it comes to, will God do that for me? I was praying this morning. And I don't want to belabor the service this morning. But my mind went back to little Courtney. I don't even know the girl. If she was to walk in the building, I wouldn't know her. But you know what my prayer was? I said, Lord, would you do for her like you did for Amy? Amy still had to go through treatment. She still had to have surgery. But you know what God did? He brought her through victorious. I don't know what you're facing. But you may have to go through some things along with God's healing. Now, can God speak healing and it be done? Yes, he can. I believe that. There's times we still have to go through things. But God can send the miracle. Right over here, Sister Lisa. A few weeks ago, concerned about her granddaughter and a kidney. She asked the church to pray with tears. The church began to pray, and then the victory came. Can somebody praise the Lord in that house today? People say, well, you got to go way back in time to see when God ever did anything for these people. No. Just look at what he's done recently. Barb's been battling vertigo. She's able to be with us today. Amen. Amen. Mary went through her treatments. Thought she'd never be able to talk again. And then I heard that alto voice one day. And I said, thank you, Lord. Amen. Oh, some of you ain't feeling it this morning. That's all right. Jim and Ron with their cancer. Yeah. Sister Betty with her sickness. And look, she's with us today. People say, Roger, you think God did all of that? He did all that plus more. But sometimes we need to say, Lord, lead me to that rock that is higher than I. You say, doesn't he stay in the same place? You didn't hear me. You cannot get to God unless God draws you. He gives you the invitation. While we stand and they sing a song, God's already given you the invitation. Now, it's up to you. Maybe you just want to come and thank him. Maybe you want to come and say, Lord, I need that peace back in my life. Lord, I need to be saved this morning. Whatever it is, while they sing, you follow your heart. Without one plea. Yes. Anybody at all this morning? God spoke to you. And now it's time for you to follow his instructions. To take a hold of his invitation. that he is sent by your way. Don't let the service end without following him today. And waiting not. Come. Yes. One small dark block. Yes. Oh, Lamb of God. Yes. Amen and amen. I gave you that example of what that guy did, showed me at work, to paint the picture for us. Satan will always show you what you could have. He'll never show you what you could lose. Amen. Never show you. A few weeks earlier, had a guy at work, and he said, Roger, he said, what are you going to do when I hit the lottery? He said, you know I'm quitting when I hit the lottery. And I said, how many years have you been playing the lottery? He said, oh, about 20 years, I guess. I said, how much money have you won in that 20 years? He said, oh, $3,000 or $4,000. I said, how much have you spent? He said, we don't want to talk about that. Right? He'll always show you how much you could win or what you could get. Never show you what it's going to cost you. See, God is totally transparent. He shows you what you could get. And he tells you what's going to happen if you don't. As the old time preachers used to say, and when I was young, I thought I would never say this, how I longed for the days of the old time preachers that would preach, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Yeah. We need them today, church. And we need to support them with our prayers. I don't care if it's your favorite or if it's just another preacher. If it's your favorite singers or just another singer. We're all here to praise the Lord. Let's get in and let's work for him. Now tonight, some of you are going to come in sad. I can't preach you happy. Yeah. Some of you are going to come in sad. Or some of you are going to come in and you're just going to be a big bubble full of joy. You either be sad because your team lost, or you'll be full of joy because your team won. But don't be late. Church starts at 6 o'clock. All right? Yeah. And don't bring your phones in checking, you know, looking at it. I've got the outcome for you. One team's going to win, one's going to lose. They got a 50% chance of winning. Not really. It's about 43%. Because they're the underdog. You know. But that's all right. God bless you. Have a great day. Don't be a hater now because I picked on the Bengals. All right. Come back tonight ready to worship the Lord. Pick up where we left off at this morning. God bless you today.